I don't mean to be biased or anything because we won a championship, but he the best coach I played for.
That's crazy.
That's dope.
That's so
I'll
cool.
keep it a bean that like he's a player's coach.
Yeah.
And he knows that it's not about the most talented guys. It's about the right guys that you put together to make the job easier.
Right.
Let it fly. Take one.
What's going on, everybody? This is Gabe Norwood, and you're listening to another episode of the Let It Fly podcast. Our last guest, Justin Brownlee, is arguably the greatest import in PBA history. And today we have another awesome guest whose resume is just as impressive. A two-time UAAP MVP, a guy who has won multiple gold medals representing the country at the SEA Games, CIABA, and in FIBA play, a pioneer in Asian imports in the ABL and currently playing in Japan for the Nagoya Diamond Dolphins. So help us welcome our guest for today, Ray Parks Jr. Ray!
Dog, no, none of us said a word. None of us said
we
a word.
We were speechless. How did he get here? Dude, he diamond dolphined in.
Hey, what's up,
Josh? What's up, man? That was unbelievable.
Hey, yeah, Ray.
What's
Ray,
diamond man, dolphin?
Hey, man. Thank you for
magically blessing us with your presence, brother.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, that was,
gotta yeah, you. Man.
It's we a didn't know you, I heard.
We didn't know you could teleport, bro. Is that how you go to Japan and back?
I mean, oh, yeah, business.
Okay, I like that, bro. Cool, man. But, Ray, thank you, man, for honestly, all jokes aside, thank you for blessing Let It Fly podcast with your presence. It's an honor to have you here. Be able to share. I mean, you have one of the dopest stories that I know, bro. Me and you are very close. You like little bro.
Dude.
So to know your story up close and behind the scenes, I'm happy that, you know, people will be able to actually hear what you all about, bro. First things first, here on Let It Fly, we have a safe word. You know, we like to get down to the real gritty, nitty gritty out here, but you do have a safe word. If there's some things that you don't want to touch on, go ahead and share your safe word with us right now so we know.
I mean, I'm gonna try to not use it as much as possible, but safety word is aratna.
Aratna. Aratna. Cool. You got aratna. That? Aratna.
Aratna.
All right, we know we backpedal right up out of here. Let's get them out of here, right?
Where you get that from? Is that something that, you know, is...
Oh, it's my girl's thing, you know? It's the same thing. Aratna. So... Same thing as like, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. Yeah. Got you.
Respect that.
Got you, bro. So, man, let's get down to the nitty gritty, bro. Let's start from the beginning. You coming out here, people don't understand and realize that you were actually born and raised out here, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
So how was it growing up out here?
I was definitely different than what people expected it to be, for sure. I mean, basketball's the number one sport here. You know, my dad met my mom here. End up having me, so I was playing mostly in the streets, you know, like they call it in the Philippines, it's dayo.
Yeah.
So like you go to different barangays, different villages, and you play basketball, play for bread, put up bets, you know what I'm saying? And that's where really I fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
So being amongst friends, being amongst my people, that's what kept me around that loop in a sense. And it just grew from watching my father play basketball, being at the games, just being able to support him. And, you know, as a kid growing up, you always look up to your father.
Yeah, touch on that a little bit, man. You playing for, your dad was probably one of the biggest legends out here. I mean, we just had a legend in JB come on, you know, kind of follow your father's footsteps. But, you know, how was that having your pop's namesake and being here in a basketball crazy country when you were playing, in, you know, in the park and stuff like that? Did people know that you were his son? And how was that pressure coming up?
I mean, it was good and bad. People who knew didn't want a bit.
It makes sense.
But I mean, like I said, like in the day and the age before social media, you know, since basketball was so big around here, every time we stepped out going to the mall, it was tough because, you know, people would want to take photos with my dad, just want to get to know him, ask for autographs and stuff like that. So it was a little difficult being under the limelight. But at the end of the day, I was proud of him for what he was doing and the noise that he's making and the legacy that he left me.
Yeah.
So I just looked up to him as a superhero during that time. That's dope. And I just wanted to be where he's at. He continued to motivate me and continue to inspire me to be just like him, if not better one day. But, you know, God rest his soul.
Rest in peace, Ray Parson, man.
For sure.
If there's somebody I could ask, like, since you were exposed to that basketball life at such an early age, like, I love stories. Like, do you have any fond memories of just the PBA, your pops, just being around that environment? You got anything that super sticks out more than others?
Oh, man, just him being able to train me, to be honest. Like, one of the craziest stories I probably never even told anybody was we would go to the park late at night, 11, 12.
Where at, if I may ask? What part of the...
I grew up in the South, Paranaque. Okay.
So, yeah, me too, Paranaque. Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, so shout out to the South peeps.
You grew up out there? He said me too, like you grew up out there?
I've been living there for almost 20 years.
Oh, okay.
How about that? How about that?
Okay. That's a long time.
Thank you.
Sorry, Ray. He tried to...
He tried to rap. Like, y'all grew up together. Shoot the fire. Y'all can't poop in. Nah.
Thank you. Can you...
Go ahead.
Nah, you sure? So, like, he would take me to the park late at night. Like, you barely could see the rim. And we would just practice shooting. He's like, man, if you can knock down shots here, you can knock down shots when it's actually bright outside and, you know, the bright lights are there. So that's one of the fun memories that I used to have. You know, he'll be busy throughout the day, but he'll still find a way to make time and still input something in me that, you know, something I can share with the next generation.
Yeah, that's big.
So that was cool of him to do, for sure. And very different, I'd say.
Yeah.
That's big. Just out of curiosity, just from a history standpoint,
right,
how old were you when your pops retired from playing?
My pops didn't really had like a big retirement in a sense, because he started playing in Indonesia, Jakarta, Brunei. So I probably had to be around, say, seven, eight.
That's a great foundation of basketball memories right there.
Right. So I still remember them winning the championship and me running out on the floor, kid, and being able to hug him and just spend time with him during that special moment.
So at what age did you move to the States?
I moved to the States at 13.
Okay.
April, I think, 2006.
With moms or?
So my moms was in LA already. My pops was in Memphis. They just decided to say, like, you know, let's move out, let's migrate to the States and just go from there. Where my sister ended up staying with my mom in LA and I ended up staying in Memphis with my pops.
Okay.
So, cool. Spent the time there about 4 years. And really, that's when basketball became more like a job to me. Because, you know, in the States, they got AAU, they got summer basketball, they got good programs. Yeah. And I even quit basketball.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
What age?
I quit at age 15, because the schedule was ridiculous. Like, we would run sprints and shoot free throws before class, so like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And then go to class at 7:15 to 3:15. And then go have team practice.
Yep.
And then wake up the same day again. Yep. So it became a job. But after three days, my dad talked to me. He's like, you know what? I love you. Doesn't matter what you want to do. You know, I appreciate everything that you do. Play basketball or not, still look at you the same way. Yeah. After a couple of days, man, I picked up a basketball.
Yeah.
That's when he knew I fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
It just took a couple of days.
I thought I was done. I quit. I can't do it.
And then you became like Mr. Basketball. What was it? Mr.
TWSAA, Mr. Basketball.
Yeah, man. So, you won championships in high school?
Yeah, so we won AAU. We won AAU title, won Mr. Basketball, went to the finals, won city championship, state championship too.
Yeah, and people that don't understand what that means. You win Mr. Basketball, you the best player in that state.
Yeah.
You the best player in that whole entire state, right?
State, yeah.
So you the best player in that whole entire state. So that's big time, you know what I'm saying? So come from there. And your journey has kind of been like that, kind of back and forth, because, you know, you were out here again, so you came back out here for college, right?
Yeah. So I signed a letter of intent to play for Georgia Tech under Paul Hewitt.
We had that conversation, right? Me and Ray connected on a different level, because – Paul Hewitt
went to George Mason.
Ends up being George Mason's head coach where I was at.
George Mason's coaches leave and are at Miami. So at the time where Ray's recruitment was going on, I'm getting called from my coaches
asking about him.
The stage asking, oh, you know, what's the situation? Is he going to is he really going to go? Is he still available? Can he get him down to Miami? All these different situations. So I think that's the first time where we started to talk outside of all, like, you know.
Outside from me just looking up to you as like the BBA star.
Yeah, they started to try to help out and reach out from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But, man, he was – the buzz was real, like – for those that know, like Saul was saying, in terms of Mr. Basketball, the state of Tennessee itself, like Memphis altogether brings out talent every year. You got Nashville, the whole area in Tennessee is impressive. So, like his resume building, Ray's resume building was starting from an early age, and that recruiting process was something else. It was cool to see from a distance.
Yeah, that's one of the things, man. That you know, I've talked to Ray about this too. Is Ray's a born and raised Filipino. Like he's his own. And so for someone to go to the States and have those type of accolades, I don't think it was put out there as if, like I said, Kai Soto or when Japheth went to the States and played for his, you know, when he went Division I and played for in the G League and stuff like that. This cat right here did it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, was recruited by a big time Division I's and all that, but wasn't embraced, I feel like, here the way that the others. Do you think that there was a reason behind that? Did you feel that same way? Because just from an outsider looking in, that's how I seen it. Yeah. But for you, did you feel that way?
I hear you on that, and I feel you on that, to be honest, because I do feel that way at times. You know what I'm saying? Like, to this day, there's still a lot of people that don't know I speak Tagalog. I don't know Tagalog.
Crazy.
That's crazy, though.
Very fluent. And
I called in.
But yeah, it just felt a little tough, like growing up. I mean, people are more focused on saying that, oh, you're the son of Bobby Parks, legendary import. But I was making my own strides in a sense, but felt like it wasn't being noticed as much.
Yeah.
And it's just tough to say that I didn't feel as much support from my home country, which I do represent the Philippines. I play for the national team. I was born here. I spent most of my life here.
Yeah.
Philippine passport holder, all that. And me being able to do these things abroad wasn't broadcast as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's weird to me that just because you're not full-blooded Filipino, it shouldn't take you away from that.
Absolutely,
100%.
Like, all of us here, we have a heart of Filipino for sure. Yeah. It's beating within us, and especially the love of the game.
We Filipino by blood, every single one of us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Not both our parents, but like you said, you are born here, bro. Like, you are born here. And what's crazy to me, there was, like, certain instances where you weren't even considered a local.
For sure.
Like, you were considered a Filipino-American, but, like, you were born and raised here, like, playing on the streets, like you said, like, growing up in Parañaque with JD when you got your younger. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
I was in the streets, bro. Like, I used to hang from jeepneys and all.
Yeah, and that's that's wild, bro. So when you came back out here, you ended up going to NU. Was there a recruitment process? Was there like an Ateneo, LaSalle, and other schools that were like, hey, we want to get your, because obviously your resume.
I was actually supposed to go to Ateneo.
Oh, right.
Word?
The Norman. Manino Norman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a visit out there, but I just wasn't ready to still step out and let go of, you know what I'm saying, the colleges out there in the States, because my top four schools was Memphis, Virginia, New Mexico, and, of course, Georgia Tech.
That was a big-time D1.
So it was just hard for me to let go at the time. So I went back to the States, and really what made me switch over and decide to be more open-minded to come into the Philippines, my pops got sick.
Right.
So he ended up having cancer, and I was like, I'd rather spend more time with my pops and play for the national team.
Yeah.
So my heart was to play for the country
from the beginning.
Yeah, to play, home country. You feel like, you know, how you feel like you playing in front of your home crowd. Just like, you about to gas me up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's hoop.
Yeah.
So came back home, played for National University under Sir Han C, which is I'm forever thankful for.
Yeah.
He became another father to me. He always looked out for me, whether it may be, I said, just him being there, spending time with me throughout his busy schedule, or just him being able to just financially secure a future for me and his guidance.
Yeah.
So I owe a lot to Sir Han C and C family. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that, for taking care of me and my family.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of people didn't understand the reasoning behind that. So I appreciate y'all brushing up on that. Yeah. Like that's the real reason why I came back home and let go of like a dream. Yeah. And let go of a dream, which to me, I got to spend 3 years with him. So that's way more important to me than having a better shot at being in the NBA or being under the NBA market, Division I and all that. Mm-hmm. I would never trade that for anything.
Yeah, you can't get those years back, bro.
Sure.
Like, that's big time. We had talked about this on other episodes. Just came up to my mind, you thinking about it. If you were, say you had the opportunity and you stayed in the state, say things were different, and you had the opportunity, you're in the NBA, you had the opportunity to play for Team USA, or Aguilas got that call because you were like, yo, I'm coming back to play for my country. Would you, because Paolo Banchero had that opportunity. We were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. Would you have played for Team USA, or would you came back in?
I would have came back for the Philippines, to be honest.
Yeah. That's dope, bro.
Like,
that's dope.
I mean, it would have been a great opportunity to play for Team USA, no question, but I know where I came from. Yeah. You feel me? And I just feel like most of these people that are out there right now that play for different countries, like say that situation, he just needs to feel the love for his country. You know what I'm saying? Cat felt that.
Yeah.
For sure. They welcome him. Y'all seen the videos, man.
Yeah. Right there in the DR.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Jordan, JC. Yeah. They showing him love. He grew up in the States. First time coming back to the Philippines to visit his roots. But it was different for me because I have more of a calling because I grew up here. Yeah. I was born here.
Yeah.
So. Yep. The moment the national team calls, I'd be down.
Yeah.
Be honest. If I was in that situation. And you get to get reps up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. You get reps up.
I was saying that about Cat.
Boy.
He different for DR.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He over there pulling from like
giving you the keys to the country.
Yeah. He over there pulling from half court and no one's saying not one word in.
He playing like a guard.
Yeah.
For real.
Shoots, Ray. I want to take it back just for a quick second, man. Like that big change, like you were talking about Kanina, that you were going from stateside and you come here. Mm-hmm. And when you decided to go to NU, right? For me, for myself, that's when I really got to first see you play. Mm-hmm. And I knew the second I saw you hooping out here, like this dude's going to be a problem. As soon as he gets to the pros, man, this dude's going to torch our league. But how was that experience for playing for NU, playing for Philippine college basketball, because for all three of us, we all play in stateside college, we all know it's very different playing like Philippine college towards U.S. college based. Right. Like, how was that experience when you got there?
Definitely had to adjust. To be honest, the physicality here is different.
Yeah.
You know, like they let a lot of like handshake go.
Yeah.
So like with Coach Eric Altamirano, he helped me a lot with adjusting. Coach Joy Guano, Coach Ramon Jose, all those guys really like helped me in the sense of adjusting my game because here, if you drive and you get bumped, you got to take one more dribble to really, like, get that foul. It's a foul. Yeah.
Depending on your size.
True.
Because there's some little dudes that you bump them, foul right away. You know what I'm saying? So
I guess with me, they think that I'm feeling them. They're you can take hits.
Yeah, right.
So
you a big guard. Yeah.
But looking back, I'm like, man, all I could do really is just, I was athletic.
Yeah,
I can shoot catching shoes, but then if I could just play old Ray versus now Ray, I may not be as athletic, but hey, I'm gonna get to my spots.
So you said there was an adjustment period into a couple MVPs. You're right. Like, I had to adjust.
I had into MVP.
Stop. We had like Father Martin's Cup, and Team B was, you know what I'm saying? Team B was killing Team A. I'm sorry.
So, like,
but like, we had like 8 new recruits that year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
speak on that a little bit too, because I don't think a lot of people understand in terms of Philippine college basketball, the UAP, the NCAA seasons aren't particularly long.
Right.
But basketball itself for you guys in college basketball here is ongoing. It's a lot like a pro setting to where you don't have a lot of time off. Father Martin's tournament, you're traveling down to the provinces.
Phil Oil and all that stuff. Yeah. So like there's a lot of preparation when it comes to that.
Yeah.
It's not that you just playing, 2-3 months where it's the UAAP or the NCAA?
Right.
Because it's only, 8 teams in UAAP?
Yeah.
So it's just like a Premier League when you think about it. It's like Europe.
Yeah.
You got EuroCup and all that stuff. Same thing. So in the Philippines, we're not used to taking breaks.
Yeah.
That's one thing you saw for sure.
We definitely had that conversation
right.
before.
So whether you're in Team A or Team B, it's still basketball ongoing.
Yeah.
And throughout that adjustment time. Like, I was glad that we was able to play in through different tournaments. And you even won the Phil Oil Championship before, like, I started actually playing in the UAAP.
Yeah.
So having those tournaments really prepared us guys, especially Team B guys that were lifting up to Team A to build the program, it helped us adjust to that. A lot of players came from transfers. A lot of players came from, like, the provinces, Zamboanga and all that. So I really feel that it's good that basketball is year-round here. We don't have winter.
Yeah.
Winter, we all summer and rain.
Yeah.
That's basically
Do they have a transfer portal here? These guys transferring, transfer portal?
To be honest, I feel like the Philippines was ahead of the game with all that stuff in college, from the NIL stuff.
The red shirt.
Because
guys in college were making money already, right?
Yeah, because, like.
Nah, guys, these kids are making bread.
Yeah.
I'll keep it a bean with you. These kids are making bread.
Yeah. Even before the NIL deals, they was making bread out here.
Man. What?
Okay. Yeah, like publicly.
Yeah. They thought that I got a SM. Publicly. That's the reason why I came back. They said I got a parking lot. I would have been retired after college.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, because I had college players on my team in the PBL when we came out here.
Yeah.
That were getting paid.
Yeah.
That, and I was thrown through a loop. I was like, yo, like, you playing college and in the PBL? Like,
yeah, that definitely threw me off.
Yeah.
Opportunities to kind of, you know, start yourself financially in a space to where, you know, at the end of the day, we're like a small percentage of the guys who get to continue playing at a professional level. You know what I mean?
But
but having those opportunities here to play in NPBL, to play in the D League, to play in the PBL like we were playing when we were coming up, those are opportunities to kind of put yourself in some type of financial situation to support yourself and your family. So it's a blessing in a way.
We talk about it before, you know, all of us play college in the States, but we see the college atmosphere out here, the Ateneo, LaSalle game, and we talk about, like, man, the experience to want to be able to come out here if we would have known to play in one of those games, how dope that would have been. Playing out here, did you have that feeling of, man, I'm missing out on playing Division I college basketball back home?
I'll keep it a bean,
yeah.
I'll keep it a bean with you. March Madness and all that stuff's crazy. Like, crazy story on my recruitment for New Mexico. Went on my visit, and you know how they got the dome there, it goes down.
Yeah, the pit.
The pit.
Right. Yeah. The pit. Used to play that in our conference. That shit's crazy. Right?
Yeah,
crazy.
So the pit.
Yeah.
Halftime, they had me go down, introduce me to the crowd. I was like, we want Bobby. I was like, oh gosh, I might be committed right here.
Cold.
No, it was one of the best experiences ever. So I can imagine just being on campus and being able to just build a relationship with, you know, my teammates and the whole staff and students.
Did you have a meeting with assistant coaches?
Not really. Like,
No, the assistant coaches.
This dude is dope. He's talking about
he got game.
He's talking about he got game.
Hey, they tried a couple.
You can use your safe word right now.
No.
Hey, it's back in the day. It's back in the day.
Hey, me and my girl, we good. The past is the past.
Yeah, I was young, Bobby. You know what I'm saying?
I was 17, Bobby.
Yeah.
They tried, but the gear was love.
Yeah.
Like, you know how, like, colleges got the exclusive gear, and then, you know, just being able to represent your school on national television, it's like, it's prime time right here.
That's cool, man.
So I definitely did miss that. And being, like I said, under the NBA radar, to be honest, that's one of the biggest things I did miss out on. But like I said, I do not regret.
Yeah. But I'm happy that you spoke on that, too, because your career, especially in terms of guys, not even just here, like just in basketball in general, they haven't had the opportunities to take the steps that you've taken. Like, you say the NBA radar, but you were able to get into that mix there with the NBA G League. And
you've been playing here.
And you're playing here. So could you speak on that experience that you had, you know, playing there in the G League?
It definitely was the road less taken in a sense, because like I said, if I would have stayed in the States, it would have been easier for me to be in the draft. Sure.
Absolutely.
The D League during that time. So I had to come back here, play 3 years of college, graduated in information technology, which that was just my goal for college anyways, and make sure that I get a degree, which I'm very thankful for. And that's when Sir Hans and them helped me move to the States and really pursue my NBA dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Went to, like I said, went through workouts, actually. Crazy thing is, my first couple of workouts, I even worked out with L.A. My agent technically messed up because I would have been drafted for their D-League team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the D-League draft.
Yeah, in the D-League draft, but he didn't make me sign an early draft form. Dang. He didn't know what age I was.
Dang.
Yeah, so it was terrible. I had to go another route. End up having a spot in the summer league with the Mavs.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I remember
then,
that.
Yeah, and then end up getting drafted by the Texas Legends, which was a good opportunity for me. Just opportunity to learn and just grow. And one thing I can say, man, like, it's not an easy grind for sure. Because I packed my bags ready to not come back home.
Yeah.
Told my luggage, I'm like, whatever happens, happens right now.
Yeah. That's how you chase a dream.
Yeah, that's how you really chase a dream. I was sleeping on the couch with my mom's couch.
No plan B.
Yeah. I was sleeping on my mom's couch for about 3 months. And then they finally put me in a spot, started the season off. And it was just really a grind.
Yeah.
I was mentally ready for it and physically ready for it. But like I said, God had a different route for me. Mm-hmm. And one thing I can say is that in the U.S., they take care of their own. I'll just keep it a B. Like,
yeah.
If you went to college in the States or
just, head start.
Yeah, you get a head start.
Yeah.
That's why, like, during that time, they was really shaky about guys that's coming from overseas.
Yeah.
That's especially where in the I G landed League.
On. That's where I landed on.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm unknown. I was quote unquote the lost boy of class 2011.
Yeah.
Trying to find my way back. And, you know, internationally, they're not looking at the Philippines right now like, yeah, that's legit. That's this. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you were out here winning MVPs and dominating pretty much.
For them, it's like, that's cool and all, but it's still a different level of basketball here. Right. So you had to start your way back from the bottom to the top. And, you know, it was a great opportunity for sure. It was a great experience. I'm thankful for it. Thank you for the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, all those guys for just giving me a shot. I just hope that it opened the door for the next person.
Yeah.
So you just try to shift your perspective that, you know, hopefully somebody else would, you know, get their shot.
Which man, speaking on that, bro, opening the doors and you did that. And it's crazy because you got a lot of flack for it. You opening the doors for the B-League. Talk about that experience of the whole time being in the PBA, playing with Talking Text. I was with you during that time, man. Right. There was a lot of misconceptions of what was going on, but there was this perception of you that you were holding out and not wanting to sign and do all this, and you know. So talk about that whole experience of you being that pioneer of going and chasing something that was for you better financially. Mm-hmm. You got better as a player. You know what I'm saying? It was just a better opportunity.
For sure, it was a blessing in disguise. To be honest, like, I'll set the record straight. I wanted to re-sign with Talking Text.
Yeah.
I really did. But there was a lot of stuff that's going on with management that was very shaky during the time. And that was December. I was on a tear because I was grinding. I was like, this is a contract year. I need to get a good contract so I can settle in.
You were balling.
You were torching the whole league, bro. You were torching that stuff.
He's dunking on fools in the bubble.
So I was really trying to get a contract. It was December. I'm like, man, I'm like, renew me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kept pushing it back. Contract ended end of January. I'm like, bro, what's up? Like, what's going on? I'm trying to re-up. Mm-hmm. Their first offer was lower than what I was making. I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, well, where's this coming from? This is lower than what I was making before. I think y'all got something mixed up.
Yeah.
Second offer, still lower than what I was making. I'm like, all right, I know what y'all trying to do right now. Let's just keep it a bean. Like, what's going on? It was like, all right, meet you at this. I'm like, that's the same as what I was making. I appreciate you guys. You know what I'm saying? It's been real. Maybe we're not seeing eye to eye. I appreciate the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Make sure I talk to everybody. Got things cleared.
Your contract done.
Contract done.
So you are not obligated to stay with no team or nothing like that. Like you abided by your full contract.
For sure. Definitely did. By law, I was like, I'm trying my best to meet y'all in the middle. Mm-hmm. But like I said, didn't see eye to eye. I thanked them. appreciate it. Thank everybody for the opportunity, like I said. And then posted on social media. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I might not be playing in the PBA. Mm-hmm. Took a hiatus in a sense because I'm like, instead of going for something I don't feel that's my value.
You knew your value, bro.
I would rather just do something else. So basketball been my world forever. And I feel like basketball beyond borders is there. Yeah. Ball gonna keep bouncing.
Yeah.
So.
You paved the way, dog.
For me, it's like I chose to not have no salary, no paycheck for 6 months. Thug it out. Boy, I'm talking about struggling.
We had conversations.
Yeah, we had conversations.
You bet on yourself, bro.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot right now in the day and age of people saying, like, you know, the people that say, like, oh, play for the pride and all that. Nah, like, we can only do this for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Right.
And you understood your value.
Yeah.
I got to take care of my family.
100.
Yeah.
I got to take care of my moms, my sis. Car note, rent, investment, their schooling.
Yeah.
I got to take care of my bills. I get it. Like, I'm not asking for the world. I'm just asking for something that would suffice and help my family financially. Mm-hmm. But anyway, pushing forward, end up signing the B League, Nagoya, one of the best places I could ever go to.
How did that opportunity come?
Ended up talking to my agent, ended up having an international agent.
Okay.
Put me on.
There you go.
And he was like, Nagoya, it's a great place. You're going to be playing for Sean Dennis, head coach. He's Australian. He knows good basketball. It's a good country, good city. This is the third biggest city in Japan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be in the middle of nowhere. You're going to be eating good. You're going to have civilization. Because those are the things that you tend to worry about going to the
when you
country.
Leave home. Yeah.
Like, man, can I, is there something I can eat?
I can live off 7-Eleven out there.
Boy, you put me on. I'm putting you on.
You put me on them egg sandwiches with the
spicy chicken
put in the middle.
Yep.
Boy,
man,
I can live off that.
So I end up signing Nagoya, end up going there in August. And to be honest with you, man, I keep it a bean, man. The paycheck over there. Love.
There's a reason why.
There's a reason why you keep going there.
No, throughout the 7 years that I was playing pro, man, I made it back and more in 1 year.
Yeah, bro.
That's dope.
I said, thank you, Jesus.
Hey, that's a testament that you betting on yourself, understanding your value, taking the chance of sacrificing for those six months, knowing that there was something better for you because there was going to be somebody that understood what your value was, bro. And then you got it, and now you are the pioneer for all the rest of these cats
and through it all, handling yourself like a pro.
Yeah.
Like Saul was saying.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really break it down, it was, to my understanding and what we're seeing, like, your contract was up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That was your time to explore. You know what I mean? Just from a professional standpoint, it wasn't like you were trying to pull some strings from over here. Like, you know what I mean?
He didn't go to the press and badmouth anybody when they were putting that perception on him.
I deleted Twitter.
Bro, yeah.
Boy, I said I was
you went on edge.
Boy,
I was with him. There was some press and media that were saying some real hurtful stuff that was uncalled for, that didn't have the whole story. That only had one side of the story and was really unfortunate to learn that about a lot of people that this is one of their own. This is what I mean, man. It's like, this is one of their own. And now it's like, now that these other guys is going because he was a pioneer, it's like, oh yeah, like he's going to go and represent us now in another league.
Yeah.
I'm like, where was this?
Bobby did this first. Before it was like, people, I guarantee you, when he went over to the B League, we're banking on his failure. We're wanting him to go there and fail and come right back and be like, nope. You come back to us.
You know.
That crab mentality. But nah, he's a pioneer for this. And now you got all these other guys over there going to Korea, Japan,
Taiwan, Australia.
Man, opportunities that people need to understand that this man opened the door for, bro. Yeah.
That's why a lot of us, Ray, like all the OGs, like we have so much respect for you. Because usually the first person who does something outside of the path is usually the one that gets the most.
100.
Most heat for it.
Most heat.
Yep.
And I hate how our society is, but that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, the world itself, man.
Exactly. And just how Gabe was chipping on it, like the way you handled yourself, like the professionalism, and you took the heat when it came, and just to see you still winning, and just this whole movement that you, dog, respect. Like,
I've always,
I love seeing you win. and like just to continue on your journey as you're still hooping and doing your thing, like it's a beautiful thing that we all see, man.
I appreciate it, but it ain't just a testament of me, it's a testament of family, which is y'all. Y'all was my counsel. Y'all know those times where I was struggling, I was confused mentally, physically, and then spiritually.
Yeah.
So I appreciate y'all for being there for me, because y'all paved the way for me to be even in the PBA. That's when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Y'all was the first wave of guys that, you know, y'all got heat for it too now.
Yeah. Yeah.
About taking jobs, about, you know, taking spots. Yeah. But y'all withstood the storm and it opened up a way for us, the next generation. That's all I want to do for the next generation.
That's what you're doing, bro. Respect.
To open up the boundaries of basketball to international.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy for. These guys are 21, 22, 23 and playing abroad. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You set yourself up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the same way that y'all told me, it's like, Ray, man, hey, it's been real.
Yes.
Yeah. We was rooting for you, bro.
Hey, yeah. It ain't been real fun. Yeah. It's time for you to go.
Absolutely.
Like, so I appreciate y'all for that. Like, the dark times that y'all seen me go through, that's on y'all. But at the end of the day, we here. Living life, enjoying, and like I said, opening the boundaries for the next generation.
Yeah. Talk about the B League, man. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the biggest difference, would you say, between the B League and the PBA?
Man, just the style of play, to be honest. Yeah. Like, the PBA plays like the NBA, which is a lot of one-on-one. Mm. Japan plays like Europe.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a lot of
team
play, like, you're involving everybody. Everybody has a job to do, and the ball is moving. It'll find where it's supposed to get to.
Yeah.
You don't have to create your own shot. Guards will penetrate. You playing against bigger competition.
Yeah.
Because you have three imports on each team, technically four if you add the Asian import or a naturalized guy.
Yeah.
So the level of competition just steps up. And what I love about the B-League is that they're not afraid of the competition, for sure. That's
dope. Yeah.
Like, they welcome that.
Yeah.
Like, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
The more we make this league competitive, mm-hmm. it elevates everybody's play.
Yeah.
It elevates the locals'
mm-hmm.
play. And for me, it was huge because I went from playing, 40 minutes in the bubble to playing 20, 25. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Because the mm-hmm. pace is so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're playing 60 games.
Yeah. 10-minute quarters.
10-minute quarters, FIBA rules. Legit. Dope. And then you got home and away games.
Yeah.
And one thing I appreciate about Japan, too, is that management and also the facility that they give you is very professional.
Top notch.
Resources.
Hot and cold, baths, man. They got physios. They got a practice facility, gun.
You ain't got no roommate on out-of-town trips?
I ain't got no roommate.
Oh, man. You got your own room. We got to talk about those. You mean to tell me you got your own room?
Wait up.
Grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man.
Got his own room on an out-of-town trip.
Yes, sir.
That's wild.
Best believe it.
Wow.
Damn.
That's a miracle.
Private suite.
Wow. Private
suite.
That's wild, bro.
But with all that, too, you see, like, you spoke on kind of, we spoke on you being the pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And now as you're seeing more and more guys make that transition, mm-hmm. you know, we see on social media, you linking with 30 or Matt mm-hmm. or Kiefer. Like, do you find you guys having your own little fraternity out there? Do you make a point? I know it seems like the league itself, mm-hmm. it seems like the B League does a great job of marketing, you know, the Asian imports and imports in general, their teams in general.
Right.
But do you guys take it upon yourselves to kind of.
Yeah. You know. We all represent the same country.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm.
We may be in a different country, which is Japan, but, you know, our roots are from the Philippines. We got that blood pumping in us, that love for the game. And every time somebody's in town, we'll take them out to dinner. You know, we'll link up, say what's up, just spend time. So I'm glad that everybody's out there doing their thing, and you just want everybody to succeed.
Yeah.
And that you're not competing for each other's spot and nothing like that. You're all out there as OFWs, which shout out to all OFWs, man. The sacrifice that y'all put in, grabe, lupit nyo, saludo sa inyo. It's not easy. You know what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're not from that country.
Oh, yeah.
And some of us ain't even got fams yet.
Yeah.
So they're there by themselves, especially during the first year of the pandemic. Yeah. That that was crazy. 10 months straight of hooping. It's just straight basketball. It's like a bubble for 10 months.
Yeah.
Damn, for 10
months. That was tough. I felt homesick.
That's tough, yeah.
That first December, it only hit me we only had one day off, and it wasn't Christmas, New Year's, or nothing. It's like December 14th or 15th or something
some
like that.
Day.
Some random day. It's some like,
random,
you know, take your time. Yeah, like, take a chill. You good today.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And that's when it hit me. I'm like, man, I've been going.
Yeah.
So.
And y'all, you guys, I heard you practice like two times a day. And like.
I'll give you people's schedule. So I got to be up at 8, be at the gym 8:30. 9 to 10, I'm doing individuals. 10:15 to 11:15, I'm lifting weights. Go back home, shower, eat, change. Got to be back at the gym by 12:45, 1 p.m. meeting. 1:30, you taping, prehab. 2 to 4 practice. After 2 to 4 practice, you got 5 mandatory rehabs that you got to do. You got a foam roll, you got to drink your protein shakes, you got to stretch, you got to do your physio and your hot and cold. So by the time I'm out, 6, 7.
Yeah. From 8 a.m.
Oh, you earning day. That check.
Oh, you earning that check.
You really earning that check.
You earning that check.
Yeah, but it's worth it. I mean, for sure. because you name all those things.
Stuff that you should be doing.
You should be doing anyway.
Stuff that you should be doing.
It ain't like they having you come in doing busy work. Now you coming in foam rolling, all that shit, lifting weights, getting stronger, rehab, prehab. Like
you getting to it.
They look at you as an investment.
Yes.
So they like, yo, we gonna make sure our investment is taken care of.
Maximize,
you gonna take care of yourself.
Oh, they're definitely gonna
match. That's something that honestly, like, the league here can go to another level. We've talked about this before, like giving better facilities, giving, you know what I'm saying, better things. Then you can actually justify what you paying these guys, you know what I'm saying? Rather than having a league or a PBA on tour to say, hey, we can't give these guys a long break because we paying them. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like we got to make make it suffice to they got to play, you know what I'm saying, for this check. Let them do all these mandatory rehabs and strengthening and stuff like that. Now you could, you know, say, okay, this is my investment. He's taking care of himself. Yeah. One of the things that me and Gabe talk about, I think me and JD had talked about it too, the skill level of Filipinos, because this was brought up, I think, online when it was the EASL. I think it might have been like Chris Ross and somebody else was talking about this. Right. But when the B League teams were smacking the PBA teams, right?
Korean teams.
The Korean teams and all that. It wasn't about, we had this conversation. If we had Filipinos, Pinoy ballers, play one-on-one with Japan or Korean, we would torch them, murder them. So it ain't about talent.
They're about to get busy.
It's about that they play the right way. They play as a team. Plus, you mentioned you guys play FIBA rules. You guys play FIBA rules. So now when you get into those FIBA tournaments, they're prepared.
It's nothing
new. We don't play FIBA rules. We don't play 10-minute quarters. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then they say, well, why isn't it translating? Well, I mean, look at the blueprint.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
So that's why it's good that these young generations are getting to see international basketball and hopefully they can bring it back.
Experience that.
Yeah.
And they bring it back on a national team. It's like, oh, I've been playing this all year. Kiefer, all them other guys have been playing over there. And talk about that too, man. That's interesting to me that you play with these teammates in Japan.
Right.
And you come back, represent your country, and then you're playing against your teammates.
Right.
But they're representing Japan. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is that? Like, do you guys?
That's love, to be honest. I was just talking to Suda Yutara, one of my guys. Like, who's hell? Man, he's enjoying playing for the national team, you know. But right now, I think he's back in Nagoya because they made the final roster cut.
Okay.
But when he says he enjoys being part of the national team, he takes pride in that. He loves it because they're well taken care of. They're in Tokyo. They got their own facility.
The national team got their own facility. Okay.
They're getting paid well. They ain't got to worry about nothing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Food stuffs, all that, gear. It makes it easier for them to, you know,
just
what,
play.
Focus in on just logging into play.
Yeah.
Not thinking about nothing else.
Yeah.
Everything else is taken care of.
That's dope.
So seeing those guys, actually, I played against Suda, Yutaro, and Tenketsu Harimoto. Which is a legendary vet over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Played in the Olympics, and both are my teammates.
Okay.
That's great.
Played against them in the Asia Cup. I think it was past November or something like that. Loved them.
Yeah.
Y'all can insert that photo. Like, I love those guys to death. Mm-hmm. Some of the coolest guys ever. And it's just fun that we're able to build relationships beyond the borders of basketball. Like I said, they're from Japan and from the Philippines. But, yeah, we still
y'all speak meet the same language.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Still meet
yeah,
in Indonesia.
Still have your brotherhood. Yeah, yeah.
So, somewhere random, we met in Indonesia.
Like, that's cool, bro.
So that was smooth.
Hey, there's one thing that we didn't tap on, man. Your career in the ABL. Mm-hmm. You got the opportunity to play for Jimmy Alapag, our boy, who is now
Jim.
The skills coach for the Sacramento Kings. Shout out Jimmy, bro.
Yep.
So talk to us about your experience playing for you were really his first head coaching job.
Yeah.
How was it playing under him?
I don't mean to be biased or anything because we won a championship, but he the best coach I played for.
That's crazy.
That's dope.
That's so
I'll
cool.
keep it a being that like he's a player's coach.
Yeah.
And he knows that it's not about the most talented guys. It's about the right guys that you put together to make the job easier.
That's real.
And the guys that he put together throughout those years were guys that you didn't have to tell them to be professionals.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell them to get in shots.
Yeah.
Like, they know the work that needs to be done. And I'm not surprised at Coach Jimmy's success. And congratulations, Coach Jimmy. You deserve that and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But being in ABL, I loved it. I'll keep it being with you. Yeah. I loved the ABL.
Travel.
It looked great, man.
Travel, like, being able to go to different countries.
You only won a couple MVPs, right? That's it?
What was it, three?
Yeah,
three?
Yeah, it's cool. Like,
three in the finals.
Few MVPs.
Three in the finals.
Three and the finals.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it was cool. Yeah.
It was fun. Like, I'll be honest, playing against international competition, being able to witness different cultures and styles of basketball.
That was dope.
The competition level was great. Mm-hmm. Man, I could have stayed in the ABL a little bit longer.
And you got to play with JB.
One thing I can tell you, man, JB is a different animal. I seen that y'all podcast. I was talking, he was terrible the first thing y'all said.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, he was garbage.
He's one of the most humble,
coolest dudes,
talented dudes ever. Like, when he was in Alabama, he would call me Cap. I'm like, bro, you know you the import, right?
Don't call me that.
You ain't got to call me that. Yeah. It's love, but you got it. You're a big part of the reason why we were successful. And to see him be successful in the PBA is just, it don't surprise me. Yeah. His character, you know, my dad always tells me that cream rises to the top. So for him, man, JB, proud of you. I hope you heal up.
Did he help your game evolve a little bit, watching him, being around him, see how he worked? Like,
he's the reason why I won those that MVP in that finals. MVP.
That's dope.
I'll give it to him. I'll give him a slide. He's the reason. Him and Jimmy and all my teammates. Because going up against him every day, it only made me better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? Because I used to lock his ass up. It didn't make me better. I made him better.
It didn't make you better.
How come it didn't make you
I made him better. So lock him up. So that's cool that he helped somebody out.
He just had to hit the ice tub after.
But that's about it.
He definitely made me better. I tell you that much. Like, going up against him, we had our battles for sure.
Yeah.
So
that's dope, bro.
It was fun. Like I said, my first year, even in the PBA, going up against him, I wanted to make sure that we beat them, even with Blackwater.
Hey, you
went overtime.
When you were in Blackwater, you was cooking. I remember, I think JB was guarding you when you was cooking them or something. I was like, I was injured at that time because I would have locked Ray up. Just saying. He wouldn't have done that on me. But yeah, like, maybe 30 pieces.
You sound like a typical OG.
I know, right?
You don't lock everybody
definitely could have been me. My big toe injury.
I wasn't there for sure.
Not at all.
But before we get out of here, man, let's talk about Gilas. Let us know how your experience has been this latest time coming back, getting preparing for the World Cup and this new team.
Well, I don't know if y'all know already. News today is that, I'm not in the 12.
Oh, but, word.
Yeah. So I got that call last night. Got a call from head coach, and, you know, they moving forward with what they feel is best, which, you know, I respect that as a professional. Appreciate the call on that one. But to be clear, I've been here since, like I said, the beginning. Like, we finished our season in May. Them guys went to Lithuania. I came from an injury. That's why I didn't even finish the season in Nagoya.
I remember your hand.
So I had an operation. So I was waiting on that to clear. To be honest, I was supposed to be cleared towards, September, October. But then, you know, I was dealing with a specialist, and I was telling, like, look, I'm trying to be back for the World Cup.
Yeah.
So they actually, you know, God
willing, and God blessed me that I was able to be cleared by July. Damn. So, yeah, damn. So I did my rehab. I was back. So as soon as they got back from Lithuania, Europe, I was back with the team, mm-hmm. practicing every day.
Yeah.
People may not know that, though, so I just had to be clear. I'm not on vacation. I'm not chilling. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know y'all been seeing the vlogs with my girls, but at the end of the day, I've been in the gym getting right.
Yeah, just because you ain't posting don't mean you ain't getting your work in.
You feel me? Like, I can't keep posting basketball every day. Yeah. Yeah. It's more to life than basketball for me. Absolutely. I feel like I'm... Yeah. It's the summer. I'm spending time with my family.
Absolutely, you know? Bro.
But that don't mean that we're not getting to work in.
It's supposed to move in silence sometimes.
So we had talked about this just a prior episode about, you know, us experiencing being in the pool and not making the team. Like, how did that news hit you? Like, when you got that news, was it like hurtful? Was it something like, man, you know, he had missed out on a experience because he was, you know, came from an injury as well, mm-hmm. you know, with his hip. So, you know, he could kind of relate to you on that. How did you feel? Did you feel like if you didn't hurt your hand, maybe it was a better opportunity or what?
I mean, of course, if you feel like you were 100%, then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel great. But I was 80 already, just getting back in rhythm. So for me, I felt like it hurt. Because you grinded so hard, you put so much into just getting back healthy. Yep. And, you know, like the sacrifices, having to go to a different country during the summer instead of spending time with your family, having to stay in shape.
Yeah.
And like I said, with my game, I'm not asking for the ball. I'm not trying to put it on the floor the whole time. We got hella ball handlers.
Yeah.
I'll be the 3-and-D guy. Throw me on somebody I can lock up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I played my role. So it did hurt. You know, just to be clear, like, I wasn't asking for the ball or nothing like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to play outside my role. I'm doing anything that I can to step on the floor. And you guys know that when it comes to us, we lock up. Everybody lock up. So it's like, it'd be like, whatever the team needs me or the country needs me to do, I'll do. So it just leaves a bitter taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's great that I got to help sharpen up the guys for the World Cup.
Yeah. That's about the team.
Yeah, it's about the team at the end of the day. And that's exactly what I tell coach. I'm like, you know, whatever's best for the team or how you feel is best for the team, I respect it. I understand it. It's a business and you got to keep it professional because at the end of the day, hey, you never know when you get that call up again.
Yeah. You always support them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no matter, even if you make the team, you still supporting them and wanting them to do great. Did you feel like it was a better fit, like, you know, that maybe they pick someone else or put that someone else is in front of you that you felt like, okay, maybe, you know, I could see that how that was a better fit with that lineup or whatever. No? Okay.
No.
I can help that team.
I don't care one arm, one leg. I can help that team. But that's just Puso. I respect each and everybody for that.
Great. Real talk though. Like, that's why you're a winner, bro. Like, you truly understand, like, the constructs of a winning culture or a person that completely gets all angles of a situation. Like a lot of people can say they know what it takes to win. Like. You really understand. Like, we've all been on winning organizations and we know what it takes to win, about the sacrifice, about what you really have to put in, whether that's mentally, whether that's physically. Like, that's why you're winning in life, bro.
Appreciate it. I got the blueprint from y'all, man.
The way you carry yourself, bro. Like, I'm just telling you, that's why you're a winner.
Iron sharpens iron, man. It's y'all. It's a testament to you guys.
By the looks of that watch, you definitely winning that.
Yeah, where'd you get that watch, bro? He's all been staring at that thing.
He has been eyeing it from across the way.
He has.
He's making no eye contact. He's looking right in the watch.
I put my watch away. I'm like, yeah, you win it. Hello. So, I mean, you obviously, whenever you're off season, your home is here, right? And you come back, I've seen you through the struggle, bro. Like, I'm very proud of you. I've seen you through the struggle of what you went through and now where you're at right now. I've never seen you happier in your life, bro.
What?
Talk about where you're at right now, man.
Great time.
Great time to be alive.
Yeah, because I see that, you know, you with your girl now.
Right.
You've taken on that role of being a father figure. I understand what that feels like of being a father figure to someone that's, isn't your blood, but you love them as your own.
Talk about that journey, man, of your new happy life right now, bro.
So, like I said, I go back to my priority. I start off with that. It goes God, family, then basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So if those things align the right way, I'm good. My biggest dream was not to be a basketball player, but to be a provider. So being able to meet my girl where she's used to the same thing. She's a breadwinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I salute her for that. She's strong. She's been through the mud. She's been through a lot. And for her to stand where she's at right now, I just definitely got to commend her for that, to take care of two beautiful children, Lucas and Bia. I mean, for me, just to be part of their life is a blessing. I always wanted a family, and they accepted me as one of their own.
Dope.
And I look at them as my kids. Sure, it's instant family.
Yeah.
That's why I became Daddy Ray.
That's tight, bro.
So just being able to go through daily struggles and come back home to them is just love. You know, the whole summer I was able to kick it with them and just build a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So it's tough for me right now that I got to go back to Japan.
Yeah.
Hopefully you still get to build that. And, you know, I feel more homesick now.
Yeah.
So
you got a purpose back here. Yeah.
Right. You got a purpose really to come back home. And the good thing about it is that I know y'all could relate to this. Doesn't matter if you play well or you play terrible.
Oh, yeah. Say less.
You coming home, your kid's looking at you as Superman.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you super dad?
Oh, yeah.
Takes it all away. All that.
Come on, man.
Straight.
Yeah. For sure.
Yes. Piggyback, all that. Let's go to the park.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
Yeah.
So it's one more inspiration for me, to be honest, to be not just be a good basketball player, but to be a better father.
That's dope, man. Well said, I'm happy for you, bro.
In this,
to see you in this space is like,
man.
People say it about me all the time. You know, I just had my firstborn. And so to see you in that space of being a father and taking on that role, man, I've never seen you happier, bro.
Yeah.
And it ain't even about basketball, which is dope. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Basketball is just a tool that God gave you to be what you wanted to be, bro. And so now you have a bigger purpose, like you said, to be a father. Right. And you're doing a great job at it, man. I told this when I talked to your girl for the first time.
Right, it was in Japan.
We were in Japan. Yeah. And I was on FaceTime with her, and I told her, I was like, you got a gem. Like, really, my brother is a rare breed. And so for you to walk into that, man, she needs to understand. I'm sure she's an amazing woman, too, because you wouldn't be with her. But, you know, she got a gem in you, bro, and I'm proud of you.
I
appreciate you making time to come and join us. You know, I'm just giving you flowers right now, bro. Yeah, like, man, your story is crazy, and we weren't able to tap into everything.
Right.
But to witness your story and see where you're at right now is like, it's like I look at you as a superhero, bro. Like, you poofed onto this scene. Like, you really got superhero abilities, bro.
Right.
As a little brother, man, I couldn't be more proud. Yeah, as your big brother, as my little brother, bro, I couldn't be more proud of you. Keep going. Keep representing your Filipino pride over in Japan. Keep paving the way. You know, I'm always going to be here for you. Gabe.
Right there with you. Right there with you, man. We have front row seats to watch you grow up. Not even in, like Saul said, not even in the game, in life, man. We got to see you from the collegiate level. We've been teammates with Gilas. I remember that talk we had in Greece.
Man,
in the lobby.
Greece, oh yeah.
We sat and spoke for like 2 hours from like 12 midnight
love.
To 2 a.m.
That
and that's the one that stuck with me because I could see where you were at and where you were heading. Mm-hmm. And it is awesome to see it all come together, man. And
appreciate
extremely you. Proud of you. Extremely, extremely proud of you, bro. And to know that the way you look out for Casho and Izzy, my three boys. Anytime you're around, you always look out for them. So appreciate the man that Bobby Ray Parks raised. He raised a good one, man.
Yes, that's word.
Facts, real. Man. You being raised the right way, man. Like, from the outside looking in, I can promise you, like I was telling you earlier, outside of this podcast, like the way OGs look at you, the way, like, the amount of respect we have for you is just, like, we are always rooting for you, dog. Like, seeing you, the moment when you came back to the Philippines to start hooping here and just seeing your growth, like Gabe said, from the beginning to where you are now, like, and the way you handled every obstacle, the way you had to handle it, because that's not easy, the way you had to handle these big adversities that would come knocking on your door, like, it's just, it makes us proud to know you. It makes us proud that we all hoop together. It makes us proud that you're a Filipino and we're a Filipino, and just keep paving that way, bro, because everyone's watching. People below us, the next generation, they're all watching what you're doing, and you're doing it the right way. So I got much respect for you, 100, though.
I appreciate y'all, yes, man, for real.
The lovers and the haters.
It's a testament to y'all.
The lovers and the haters.
Yep.
They all watching.
It's a testament to y'all, man. Like I said, y'all paved the way. Same thing for me giving you guys y'all flowers, man. Like, the sacrifice that y'all took. And for you guys, you had to leave home, back at the crib, to come to a third world country, play ball, start a new life.
Yeah.
Man, that's not easy. Same way that I'm doing in Japan is what y'all did over here.
Nah, that's real, man. Next. We talk about that, like, okay, because when we first came out here, there wasn't a lot of Phil-Ams.
Right.
There wasn't. So we kind of, we created bond and that brotherhood that you guys are doing out in Japan now, you know what I'm saying? And it's a little harder because you guys are in different cities, which is far. We're all in Manila, so it's a little easier. But yeah, man, we know what you're going through, bro, to leave your home and have to go out there by yourself, scared as shit, and walk into greatness, for real.
Hey, Ray, there's this one last thing we want to do before we go to the next segment. It's actually this question that we give to all of our guests, and it goes like this. If you could change one thing in this world, what would that be?
Spread love and positivity. I feel like everybody needs that right now. Sense, you know, just to be checked upon. Just you as a king, all of y'all, how you guys doing in life? How are you?
Yeah.
You're spreading love and giving them the affirmation that you are a king. You are worthy of where you're at right now.
And queens.
You are love. Yeah. King and queens, for sure. Okay. Like, just you are worthy of where you're at right now. And you are love. You beloved, for sure.
Yeah, man. Checking in on one another, man. That brotherhood.
You know? Yeah. Let everybody feel that they appreciate and that they seeing love and that they value.
Yeah, seeing how people are really doing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Because it's easy to come out nowadays and be like, yeah, how you doing? I'm good.
Yep, exactly.
It's different from just, you know, like, how are you?
How are you, bro?
Like, how you doing? Like,
yeah.
You straight? Like, everything I chew.
Yeah. 100, bro. Love that. Cool. All right, man. So before we get out of here, we got the infamous Let It Fly segment.
Oh. All
right, we do it, everybody. It's going to be 10 questions. Shooting around the arc, all right? So we're going to get our shots up. You're going to be 10 shots. Let it fly, bro. No, there's rapid fire answers, all right? No thinking. And you're trying to get it quick. You're trying to get it quick. We're going to start with JD. He's going to do three. Gabe will do three. And I'll end with four because I'm the worst shooter, so I need more shots. All right. Actually, between me and you, I might be a little better.
Depending on the day.
It's Gila's game or
Gila's game. Gila's game. I don't know.
Stupid.
All right. All right, Ray. You ready? All right. Here we go. Here we go. Favorite travel destination?
Ooh, Japan.
Okay. If you aren't hooping, what job would you be doing instead?
Businessman.
Favorite musician?
Ooh, Bruno Mars.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, okay.
Nice one. I got you on the next. Favorite Gila's memory?
First Sea Games.
First Sea Games. Nice. Favorite Japanese food?
Yakiniku.
Yakiniku. Mm. MJ, LeBron, or Kobe?
LeBron.
Look, you
got to count.
Here we go.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh, that's tough, dog. I just came from Bali. Bali is
my dog.
That's my
baby bro right there. Our hardest player you ever guarded?
Justin Brownlee.
Ooh, JV. That's a good one. Biggest weakness in your game?
Biggest weakness in my game. I'd say I'm like you, man. It's hard to find.
You can use safe word on that one.
Biggest weakness in my game, I'd say being too unselfish, just being passive. You know, I feel like everybody got that weakness where, like, you just letting things just flow rather than making things happen.
I like that. I like that. All right. Biggest fear?
Letting down the people I love.
Ooh, okay.
That was heavy.
Last one. You have an opportunity to win $1 million.
Hey, now. Talk to me.
By beating one of us in one-on-one, who you picking?
You can't run pick and rolls?
Nope. One-on-one, who you picking?
Can't get a million, screen.
Hey, $1 million.
$1 million? I don't know.
It's different, like you feel me, like, so cool, get under you. You know what I'm saying? It's tough. Soft fouls, though. Soft fouls. Stop.
Gabe is just like it. We're like, it's just trying to get a shot off.
Hey, the game might run about 3 hours.
You keep his space.
And JD just gonna choke you out if you score on him. So you don't want to score on him.
We gotta do pick and roll. Because anytime I would see like any of y'all guarding me, bro, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, get this man up off.
Hey, Ray, man. Appreciate you coming on again, bro.
Sure. Like, yeah, sure. It was dope, bro. It was fun.
Appreciate it. Lots of fun, man.
Love you, bro. He brought that dude from over here.
Yeah, I got you, man. Well, hey, man, that was another episode of Let It Fly. We appreciate y'all. We'll see you on the next episode. Until next time, peace out.
Oof.
Stay out the shadows.
Stay out the shadows.